Okay, I know exactly where we can pick up with the Dew Line. So I'm apparently reading all the Dew Line cards into the record. So that is... margin, because that's what how it's written. The headline, most men want poise and more royal margin. McLuhan Dew Line, Volume 2, Number 2, September 1969. So, are you guys ready for me to continue with the Dew Line news deck?
Yes.
Do your thing!
All right. Okay, so I will mute. Mute. Here we go.
All participants are now muted.
So, continuing the Dew Line second season, we're into the Dew Line cards, and we're doing the diamonds, and I just said that we are engaging the McLuhan Dew Line Volume 2, Number 2, September 1969. So, the Nine of Diamonds says, Cubism at a glance. And it has a square, and it says inner, outer, upper, under. So these four aspects, four angles, inner, outer, upper, under, is Cubism at a glance. That was the Nine of Diamonds. So, going into the Seven of Diamonds, thanks for the mammaries, M-A-M-M-A-R-I-E-S. Thanks for the mammaries. Eight of Diamonds. Hollywood found that running six people in a figure eight creates a mob scene which equals the population explosion. Do that again. Hollywood found that running six people in a figure eight creates a mob scene which equals the population explosion. That's on the Eight of Diamonds. Then the Cubism at a glance was the Ninth of Diamonds. Now back to the Fourth of Diamonds. The hand that rocked the cradle just kicked the bucket. It says a Hindu sage said that to a professor at Cambridge. We don't know how old the Hindu sage was. Could have been a kid, said, the hand that rocks the cradle, the hand that rocked the cradle just kicked the bucket. He, in Counterblast 1969, I think he had the phrase, the Beatles show that the hand that rocked the cradle rules the world. That's what Beatle music showed. The hand that rocked the cradle rules the world. Whereas here, the hand that rocked the cradle just kicked the bucket. So that would be the death of death, probably. Brought in by cosmic awareness, or started to be. So that's the Four Diamonds, the Five of Diamonds. Silence is all the sounds of the environment at once. Silence is all the sounds of the environment at once. Then we were doing the bias of different cultures, and the bias of the American, where it states control of the situation. It's his best, the American's best phrase, for expressing mastery of the situation. It is, the phrase is, I know it inside out. So that's a kinetic bias, and it says in the card, for total awareness, the American says, I know it inside out. Kinetic space. So, we did that one. We'll move on to Cubism. Then we are doing the diamonds, the Ten of Diamonds. The medium is the message. We've all heard of that. The medium is the message, but he hyphens mess, M-E-S-S hyphen A-G-E, so it's the pollution time and the garbage apocalypse of container corporation food cans. The medium is the message, Ten of Diamonds. The medium is the message. J of Diamonds, to the blind all things are sudden. To the blind all things are sudden. S-U-D-D-E-N. Another aspect of Japanese culture, the Queen of Diamonds card says, A Japanese wife never speaks irritably to her husband. She merely rearranges the flowers. Okay. The King of Diamonds. In the world of the blind, the one-eyed man is a hallucinated idiot. In the world of the blind, the one-eyed man is an hallucinated idiot. A of clubs. No, what is this? That's before we go into that. I'll unmute. Did you get any ideas, laughs, chuckles, insights?
I think you didn't say the 8 and the 9.
Of the diamonds?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
Eight of the diamonds was Hollywood found that running six people in a figure eight creates a mob scene, which equals a population explosion. We did that. The nine of diamonds is cubism at a, nine of diamonds is cubism at a glance. Inner, outer, upper, under. So, that's the diamonds, but, do you believe in the world of the blind, the one-eyed man is a hallucinated idiot?
He doesn't think so.
The medium is the message, reminded me of what we were doing with Frank and how it ends with the audience being sprayed with a toxic substance.
Yes, that was a Frank ending. Very Frank. But it's the medium is the message. You know, it's a four-line poem. The medium is the message. The medium is the massage. The medium is the mess age. And the medium is the mass age. That's the four lines.
Yes, and it's the mess age and the mass age with the ISO, the tactile, and the mess age for the other ones that don't reset.
Hmm? What are you saying? You're a little clearer. You are a little clearer, but I didn't get all of what you said. You want to summarize it, Bert?
Yes, it's the message for the ones that don't reset, but if you reset, it's the massage with the ISO.
Oh, yeah, the message, what she's saying, the message is something, and then the reset is the massage.
Yeah.
The mess is, you don't reset.
The mess age.
The mess age.
Is what?
Is before you reset. The message is for those before you reset, is that what you said, Broxy?
Well, that this age, the phase three, is both the mess age and the massage.
Okay.
It's the double helix stairs. You can go up or you can go down.
Right.
You choose.
What was the second one? I got the medium is the message. What was the other one?
Massage.
Oh,
the
just
massage.
within the poem. Okay. Message
the
and massage. Yes. Okay, moving on. The law of averages will clobber you every time. The law of averages is the ace of
clubs.
Clubs? Is that a club? Does a club look like a four-leaf clover?
It's a three-leaf clover, yeah.
Yeah,
three-leaf.
A club.
Three-leaf.
Yes. Okay. How did you know that was Bart? How did you know we were doing the clubs? Psychic?
I'm looking at the cards.
Oh, okay. And you saw what we've done? Well, we've only done a few, but you're assuming we had worked our way through all the other suits.
No, I just, you started reading that, so I jumped to that card.
Oh, I said ace of clubs. Okay. The
no,
law
no,
of
you started
averages,
reading the law. As soon as you said
the law
of
law.
Averages. Yeah, I saw that on the cards displayed on my screen.
Right, get it. The law of averages will clobber you every time. To the two of clubs, blowing both horns of his dilemma. In other words, blowing out both sides. A collection of opposites is what Zappa predicted for the average American citizen. He'd end up blowing both horns of his dilemma. And then have to put up the end of a meme blowing the both horns back at him. Which we all know has happened. Another, I predicted the Berlin Wall going down, and I predicted the next major collapse of the October 88. I predicted Germany be reunited. So those are two major collapses after World War II. I just realized that. So, blowing both horns of his dilemma, and the Japanese wife never speaks irritably to her husband. She merely rearranges the flowers.
That's Queen of Diamonds. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Queen of Diamonds, right. Then we move to Three of Clubs. The missing link was the greatest discovery of the 19th century. Does that make sense, everybody? The missing link was the greatest discovery of the 19th century.
To notice that the link is missing.
Okay, when did time? What?
I disagree with the concept of the missing link.
Well, the missing link is the gap. And it was the, what's the connection between the apes and the human in Darwin's theory? And it created a lot of, you know, public outcry, public support, distracted American society as much as they could be distracted in the 20th century. So it wasn't McLuhan, one of his favorite times personally, I don't think. Though he might have been starting to feel offended and didn't communicate to anybody or didn't walk around gloating about it.
So he wasn't supporting Darwin. He was, or maybe he was, but his words here celebrate the gap.
Yes.
The link that's missing.
The missing link is the clue to the detective story that Edgar Allan Poe predicted. Then the missing link done in novels. And that's where, you know, they just describe a family, and one of the members of the family is over in Tokyo, and then things screw up, and the person loses touch from Tokyo, and then some other amateur finds the theory and gets in touch with him. They let him out of jail, and then a whole drama happens. I guess that was last week.
Will the missing link be the chromosome 14?
Oh, yeah, if you take it semantically.
That makes you reconnect?
Right, if you take it semantically,
different meanings,
you would get chromosome 14. But this is for a bunch of Darwinian executives, survival of the fittest. So you make fun of them. You say the missing link was the greatest discovery of the 19th century. They would be, if they notice it, they get pretty pissed off.
I
find it interesting because in the 19th century is where the electric environment starts becoming an environment with the telegraph.
Yes.
And it's the reconnection at the distance. So somehow
it's a reconnection with source energy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, with that type of energy. So we start somehow really finding the missing links that is not an ape, but it's something else.
Right. Okay. Fourth of Clubs, affluence creates poverty. Fifth of Clubs, since life is short, our faces must be long. Since life is short, our faces must be long. Now, we did the American bias, the kinetic bias of the American. That was, I know it's in, what?
Life is short, your dick should be long.
Yes, so we did the American bias, which is, I know it inside out. Now we're doing the Frenchman's bias. And he says, I know it au fond. McLuhan has there, je sais au fond. Au fond means in depth, apparently. For depth awareness, the Frenchman says, I know it au fond. And that's the auditory bias. Then, the next card, Seven of Clubs has Latin for champagne. Latin for champagne is falsus dolor. So I don't know what the message there is. Latin for champagne, falsus dolor. Let's see if that's what comes up.
It's false dolor, mental suffering or anguish.
Yeah, probably that.
So he's just making a joke. He's not the real.
You're speculating.
Champagne is false suffering.
What happened there?
Yes, I don't believe that's the real word in Latin for champagne. Is that a type of joke?
Right. It could be falsus dolor, phrases dolor. It's in Latin or another language. It's not. So we need to find one that has a translator.
False pain.
Okay, I'll take that, false pain. Eight.
Yes, because in French, champagne means the field.
Oh, it's a pun on the word champagne.
In Latin, it's campania, so that's why falsus dolor. It must be a very sophisticated joke.
It's a pun on the word champagne. False pain. S-H-A-M.
False pain.
P-A-I-N.
Yeah, like Roxanna said, it's a very sophisticated joke.
Right. Now look at number eight. Eight of clubs. The victor belongs to the spoils. That's a good one. The victor belongs to the spoils. Hey, you guys like that?
Yeah. Yeah, they're
what does that mean?
It means the medium is the message. You win all these objects that become environments, so then you're numbed by them. So the spoils is you acquire new media because you beat your enemy, but that new media will cause numbness in your being, and it will be rightly said of you, the victor belongs to the spoils. So no. Hmm. Napoleon Murphy Brock, otherwise known as Napoleon, merged with the 60s McLuhan and basically apologized for emphasizing that phrase, the victor belongs to the spoils. But we're stuck with it.
And did you ever ask Ayun if that would be also the case with the non-physical? That there is always this hypnosis with the new media? Are we going to be numb by the non-physical too? Or?
Well, people are. They can't talk, but ion does its damnedest to make you aware of itself as an environment. It's the first medium that talks about itself.
Yeah, that's good. The media is revealing itself or alerting you to its effects, yeah.
I think, you know, an example of the hypnosis or what Ayn's up against, you know, to not get people suckered so people don't get in trouble. We would go to our key dogma.
Yes.
Here it is. This product is only for ascending people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for unhealthy people, not people who are sick, not people who got all these
problems. We're not here to cure anything. We're not here to help anything. We're not trying to do anything. We're not trying to make you happy. We're not trying to prove your happiness. We're not trying to see that you're whether or not you're happy. We are not here this product was not created for your benefit, for your pleasure, or for your enjoyable delightment. It's not for that. It's only for the ascending.
The thing is you can turn off the media environment, but you can't turn off non-physical.
Right, and non-physical is saying that's the ultimate media ecology, median ecology statement. We're here for you to perceive your being, your environment, to see through it, not be controlled by it, not be massaged by it. That is the one of the best statements Ion's ever made. Plus, funny.
And is the ultimate victor, because there is no way to obsolete the non-physical.
Right.
You merged with it.
Unless that's what's happening now with the frequency changing, Ion has been forced to off itself and come forth and create. So we actually did get to a timing that non-physical had to change. Another thought you didn't think of, Bert?
Yes. Also, it links it back to, it links all the way back to the Stairway to Heaven, where Ion said that non-physical always is helping. But now it's on
Even though it's a whole other. Ion has to say they're not interested in helping. Ion says they have to say that they're not helping you. They're not here to save you, to make you happy, for you to profess your happiness. Because Ion has to erase every thought that you have lingering in you. Then once that's over, Ion says, oh, we'll help you.
they're doing it, but they're not telling you. They're not telling you about it.
No, they're telling
you. But sometimes they do.
They're always doing stuff and then correcting the effect of it. Altering the effect of what they just did to you. Like every moment of existence.
Yes.
It's a yeah,
you get that, Roxy? You okay on that? You handle that?
That's the massage.
It's making sure that you don't get too fixed in the language part.
Yes, I came
the
up with one.
Conceptual part.
You know that, is it Jim Morrison? There's a biography of Jim Morrison of the Doors. It's titled, Nobody Gets Out of Here Alive. Well, we at IONDM, you know what we say? Nobody gets out dead. Nobody gets out of here dead.
Yeah, he's flipping,
I've never been
he's
said
flipping
before.
Morrison. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm flipping all of humanity. It's an awesome original statement from Bob. Nobody gets out of here dead. You can't die. You can't get dead. This bullshit about you can't get out of here alive, boy, that's more typical 418 group bullshit. They rode with that for millennia. Well, they're not going to have it anymore. So make a bumper sticker. Nobody gets out of here dead. That would shock people. That was an example of massaging them with new meaning.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't. You
I like
can't stay,
that.
You,
no
you
one
can't
gets
go
out
home.
Of here dead.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Or...
Yeah.
Some variation.
What is it? Yeah, you don't have to go home. You don't have to kill yourself, but you can't stay here.
So that's right. Wherever here is.
Yes.
But you should put like
not,
they put on cigarettes these labels. These may cause cancer. You have to put that on. Your products.
That's right.
This may cause you
eternity.
Not to die.
This may prevent any suicidal attempt you can come up with.
This product may prevent your death. No, this product will.
Yeah. Okay, Nine of Clubs. With data banks, we are taped, typed, and scrubbed. With data banks, we are taped, typed, and scrubbed. Ten of Clubs. Congestion is the indispensable condition for getting your hand in the other guy's pocket. Congestion is the indispensable condition for getting your hand in the other guy's pocket. That is the cover of Absolutely Free. that's what it showed. The L.A. scene with the cars beeping and the buildings and concentration camps all stuck, forced to be in a smaller space. Congestion. And that's the indispensable condition for getting your hand in the other guy's pocket. The Jack of Clubs. When you're flat on your back, don't raise your head or your friends will kick your teeth in. When you're flat on your back, don't raise your head or your friends will kick your teeth in. Queen of Clubs.
The Kama Sutra? What is that?
Yes.
I don't get it.
You don't get this one. I think when, if you're playing a rugby game and you get knocked out, you don't want to lift your head. You get run over by that huddle. That's all I can come up with. It is showing kind of like Muslim priestly clothes and a bit of the fleur-de-lis effect on the club, Jack of Clubs, or at least what's the design that's been added here.
So when you're down, I don't know.
Don't raise your head.
Stay
down till they recognize you. Come over and help you.
I don't get it. Okay. No, I don't get what he's saying. Why is he saying that?
I think Carol's got something to say.
He just needed a phrase.
What are you saying, Carol?
Please.
There's a reason why you're down until you can figure it out. Don't get up again.
That's a good way to do it. When you're flat on your back, don't raise your head, or your friends will kick you. They'll take advantage of you not knowing what you're doing.
Yeah, not knowing what you're doing or what got you kicked in the head in the first place is probably going to give it to you again unless you're figured it out.
So how did you figure this out? Has this happened to you?
All the time.
Ah, you know that one. You know to keep your head down.
Carolyn.
Until Bob's gone.
Morning, Carolyn.
Morning.
Morning, Carolyn.
Thank you, everybody.
you keep your head down until Bob goes to the beach.
Uh-oh.
Carolyn often can come up with the most original fucking practical sense that ever happened. Who no one else figured it out, right? I think she got it.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like if you're laying down. Yeah, actually, and to the previous card.
Something knocked you out. Something knocked you flat on your back. And if you don't figure out what it is, you're going to get knocked down again.
Right.
Okay, you were saying something, Bart?
The previous card, congestion is the indispensable condition for getting your hand in the other guy's pocket. I was just thinking that... that condition of closeness and congestion is from population, from development, and well, never mind. I'm kind of going off the rails in that one. I had a thought on that.
Did you write this down, or are you looking at the new line cards yourself?
I'm looking at the cards.
They're online somewhere, say.
They are.
Yeah, because these were Xeroxed by me back. 1977.
In the old school days.
The what?
Yeah, Bart said you're old school, so I said in the old school days. You see,
yeah, with paper.
When I would go to St. Michael's College in Toronto and Xerox stuff, and then go over and see McLuhan and the Cochos or see whoever was there. The St. Michael's Library was right beside his Cochos. And I would Xerox a lot of stuff. I Xeroxed the whole Dew line there with the reluctant agreement of the old lady that managed it. And she told McLuhan, and McLuhan one Monday night said, "So I hear you're doing the Dew line." I said, "Yep." And then I wondered if he would say something else, because I'm sure I lied to get in there to do it, because I was not a student or anything. But he just looked at me and said, "Well, Bob's going to save us, so I guess we won't hassle him."
There's a link to the cards. I'll just give the website. It's McLuhanGalaxy.wordpress.com.
Okay, McLuhanGalaxy.word.com.
.wordpress.
I've told the story that one day Carolyn came to the seminars, and it's the first time McLuhan said, "Who's this, Bob?" He knew. He never said it ever to anybody. Never cared. He was like that description of Zappa. Remember that article I was reading? He's walking around stage, mean, slouching, doesn't care. That's McLuhan at the coach house.
Yeah. Was that, not that so bad. That was Carolyn's first meeting with McLuhan?
Yes, first time they ever looked at each other. We're sitting in the front row, wasn't that many people there, and McLuhan was there early, and he was sitting in his chair and looking at us, and we sat down. And, like, within a minute, it was phenomenal. He never would even comment on anybody. He'd just wait till people were ready, and then he'd start talking. He looks at me, he says, "Who's this?" Where'd you get this, Bob? What is a cat drag in? Where did you fucking drag this thing in, Bob? And then, shortly after that, it might have been the same night, out in the front office where George would greet people, I see Carolyn standing there looking at something on the wall, some painting or drawing. And McLuhan is standing beside her, and I'm looking at their backs. I'm back in the main room. And I see McLuhan slowly pull a $5 bill or something out of his pocket and slip it to Carolyn behind her, like around, and she notices he's trying to give her something, and she grabs it. It was like he was secretly paying her off for a rendezvous later or something. I saw it, this surreptitious handing $5. And later I said, "What was that about?" And he found out that Carolyn had a copy of the book Food for Naught, written by McLuhan's cousin or nephew or something, and it was a review of the mechanized food industry with a McLuhan language showing the ruination of food. It was called Food for Naught, and Carolyn knew about that book. Had met the guy, Ross somebody. What was his name? Forget.
Ross Hume Hall, and he was McLuhan's cousin.
Right. And he was at McMaster when you went to McMaster in Hamilton. That was in 77.
So I must have told him I knew the book, so he gave me $5 to get him a copy when I was back there.
He was probably interested in how his cousin used McLuhan language to talk about, organic food movement.
That's back when books only cost $5.
Yeah.
Actually, they've gone back to that price, but...
Oh,
it's electronic anyway.
Yeah, the Kindles. Yeah. I mean, I get most of the books I read now, they're zero on Kindle Prime.
Mm. There's zero cost.
Zero cost, yeah. They just want to grab your attention.
Well, what do you mean? They grab your attention?
Well, say there's a series. They'll grab you with the zero, and then they'll leave you hanging, so you have to buy the next book, which has been, $4.99.
Right.
So it's still under $5. It's cool. It's really revolutionized the whole book industry.
And the book industry had to go this way. They were dead anyways.
Dead.
They're like the banks. Yes. The banks charge you for putting an account in them.
Yeah. And then you have to fight to get your money back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, has there been any fallout from Janet Yellen raising the interest rates?
Not yet.
Where is it?
Not yet.
Look at this. What's it say?
It may take about a month.
What?
It may take a month to have an actual effect. But
it says Fed to raise interest rates in March.
Look, they're asking, I guess Hillary debated Bernie Sanders tonight. Anybody can confirm that?
Yeah, they had a debate. That's on the headlines and all the websites that they had one of the Democratic debates. Yes.
Right, and Hillary Clinton went missing during the debate. After the first commercial break, almost an hour into the third Democratic debate on Saturday night, ABC returned with two candidates at the podium, Senator Bernie Sanders and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. The former Secretary of State was missing. Rather than waiting, moderator David Muir moved forward, asking Mr. Sanders a question. Mrs. Clinton came walking in and said, sorry, into the microphone. The reason why Mrs. Clinton was late hasn't been disclosed, but her calm apology was received with laughter and cheers by the audience. You know, within her fandom, she can't do anything wrong. Let's see, she walks in. Yeah, Bernie and the other guy are totally pissed. Says, in the first Democratic debate in October, Mrs. Clinton was also late to return to the stage after a break and said, quote, you know, it does take me a little longer, a comment referencing that it can take women longer to use the bathroom. Some on Twitter blamed ABC for coming back from the commercial break too early. Others said that the campaign should have negotiated with the network to not return until all candidates were back on stage. Below, some of the tweets from debate watchers who noticed the puzzling moment. And here it says, why fiction mirrored grim reality on Homeland this season? Homeland was a really good show. I enjoyed that one. Well, it's not over until tomorrow night. Anyway, sorry, I just got distracted by Bob missing from fucking Forum McLuhan thing. Apologize, and everybody cracked up as they had to. I'm trying to find the Drudge Report to see is there anything on the interest rates. You're saying Bert's going to take about a month. Is that what you're saying?
They said they're going to raise the rates. Oh.
I keep every now and then I look over there, Drudge, and it's like Putin ready for World War III. What is all this talk about World War III? Why?
Well,
you said
Putin was quite impressed this week. Putin showed a lot of emotion on his press conference that he normally doesn't, but he's really inflamed with Turkey shooting down a warplane. So he was pretty probably the most inflamed speech that Putin's ever done. He was pretty emotional.
And that, all right, so that means World War III?
That I don't know. I'm
just said it a couple weeks ago.
They have been saying that on the media since the attack in France, but...
Right. Sorry I was looking. I'm getting distracted. But why was I going over? Oh, we're looking for the interest rates. Panic, is there... Wall Street panic. Yellen.
She says on December 16th that the interest rate will be raised, and it will be raised as of March 2016.
Okay.
Or by March.
Right. Fed, okay, it says here, Fed Chair Yellen reassures Wall Street on record low interest rates. What the fuck am I doing? I'm interrupting my McLuhan thing. This will piss off the McLuhan people, right? What do we talk? Forget that. Let's get back to the issues here. Queen of Clubs. Hell hath no music like a woman playing second fiddle. Hell hath no music like a woman playing second fiddle. Like that? Hell hath no music like a woman playing second fiddle. We know what that means. King of Clubs.
Yes.
The ultimate embalmer. The piece that passes all technology. The ultimate embalmer. E-M-B-O-M-B-E-R. The piece that passes all technology. Is it talking about the atomic bomb? Hydrogen bomb?
Hiroshima.
Yeah. Hiroshima. The ultimate embalmer, the piece that passes all technology. Ace of clubs. If it can happen, it will. That's Murphy's Law. If it can happen, it will.
Oh, that's not Ace of clubs.
Yeah, Ace of hearts. Very good. All right, Two of clubs. Sam Butler. It's better to have loved and lost than never to have lost at all.
That's Two of hearts.
Two of hearts, yes. It's better to have loved and lost than never to have lost at all. We talked about that the other day, maybe on What Youth. Look at this. And Three of hearts. Anthropology is the study of man embracing woman. From a dictionary, 1910. Anthropology is the study of man embracing woman. W.C. Fields, four of hearts. How do you like kids? W.C. Fields, well cooked, he said sternly. How do you like kids? How do you like kids? Well cooked, he said sternly. What?
That's funny.
Yeah, not bad. Here's five of hearts. Is there a life before death? Is there a life before death?
Yeah, Ion's asked that.
Yeah. Okay, now we come to the visual bias of the Englishman in the Six of Hearts. For perfect knowledge, the Englishman says, quote, I know it like the back of my hand, indicating a visual bias. I know it like the back of my hand. That's perfect mastery, perfect knowledge for the Englishman. Here's one, Seven of Hearts. Since the invention of elastic, the space occupied by women has been reduced one-third. Since the invention of elastic, the space occupied by women has been reduced. What'd you say?
Nobody laughs.
Since the invention of elastic, the space occupied by women has been reduced one-third.
We know better than to laugh.
That's a racist statement. That's pre-Bob, pre-Connie, racism everywhere. Even McLuhan was a racist.
That's spandex and Spanx.
You said spandex and Spanx? That's what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, spandex, you know, the tight elastic clothing. But Spanx is the latest. It's the new modern girdle, which is like 10 times the spandex. It's like a concrete, it's the old whalebone.
The whalebone.
Yeah.
It just squishes the person?
It squishes you in, yeah. I don't know where everything goes. Anatomically, it doesn't make sense.
The space between everything gets removed.
Yeah, it squishes out the space between cells.
Since the invention of elastic, the space occupied by women has been reduced one-third. So elastic came in 100 years ago, and there's been different styles of clothing.
Yeah, and, it's just talking about how you can squish away any sort of flab or cellulite, I suppose, with the clothing made from elastic fibers.
Right.
That's, simple, but it's getting worse and worse because, I think it's up to 70% of the population is overweight and obese now, so we need more and more elastic.
Right. Well, Carolyn, eventually a man wrapped up in himself makes a small package.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing there.
Right. A man wrapped up in himself makes a small package. That's the Eight of Hearts. Here's one on the high rise and miniskirts. The end is in sight, i.e. instant slums. High rise and miniskirts. The end is in sight, i.e. instant slums. Nine of hearts. Did you get that?
Well, miniskirt at the end.
Yeah.
And instant slums. I kind of don't know why he's juxtaposing those two.
Well, a high rise leads to instant slum. He says, just as the old poor people's ghettos were social monsters, the high-rise is an antisocial monster, isolation.
Uh-huh.
And so it's the end. the end of things, instant slum, because mm-hmm. people don't have a neighborhood to peer pressure them.
Mm-hmm.
So the pun is on the end is in sight with high-rise and miniskirts.
So, Bob, did he do all these, or who was his collaborator in the dude line?
George says it was him and Marshall and maybe Harley. There was a few of them. They sat around and made up stuff.
Right.
And George came up with the small brains one.
Mm-hmm. I have a small brain, and I intend to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, so Marshall didn't come up with these by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ten of Hearts says, unless we have a certificate of discharge from a mental home, we can't prove we are sane. Unless we have a certificate of discharge from a mental home, we can't prove we are sane. Ten of Hearts. You guys get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We brought that up a couple many times. The Jack of Hearts, the Cyclops, the Roving Eye, the Hunter, in brackets, Eternal Chimera Hunter, or Chimera Hunter. The Cyclops, the Roving Eye, the Hunter, Eternal Chimera Hunter.
I don't get that.
Well, literate people, McLuhan used to call two-eyed people.
Hmm.
Everything was split, two of everything, duality. Then when tactile space imploded to all the other senses, the eye converged on a cyclopean eye. It was no longer a split eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see on the cover of Cultures Our Business, he's got a picture of a man with an eye patch over one eye, so he's actually got only one eye working.
Right. Hmm. Cool.
So the cyclopean vision is an effect of our time.
Okay. Bob knows everything.
Yeah, now, in Ulysses... Yes, Carol resents that. So,
hey, be happy for the acknowledgement there, Cyclops boy.
Yes, so listen to this. So, in Ulysses by James Joyce, one of the places Ulysses lands in is an island of monstrous Cyclops, and they're antisocial. They have no civilization. Nobody cares about anybody in this Cyclop gang, the Cyclops species. And so Ulysses'
Everybody
men get trapped.
Watching their cell phone.
Yes. And so Ulysses gets captured by the Cyclops. So at night when the Cyclops is sleeping, Ulysses does something, ties them down or something. So they escape. But when Cyclops realizes they've escaped, Ulysses had told the Cyclops his name was Noman, Noman. So the Cyclopean started yelling for his other Cyclopean guys to come help him to deal with this armada of ships or something that came aboard. And he was yelling to the other Cyclopes, no man has escaped. Please, come help me. No man. And he kept saying the word no man and not knowing that nobody would think anything was serious because no man had escaped. So he was laughed at by the others and mocked. And in a way, Joyce predicted the present day of social space in the West, the isolated chip-bodied person, the isolated chip-bodied warrior is cyclopean and by themselves, and they have no social decency connecting people.
Yeah, and they're yelling, and nobody's responding.
yeah, good point.
Yeah, that is quite a prediction of what's happened now. Everybody's just focused on, you know, the kind of the one-pointed vision is almost like one eyeball on their cell phone.
Yeah. And I don't know of anybody who said that. See, I what made me think of it was that McLuhan said before Tribal Man, yeah, this was the other neat part, before Tribal Man, there was just isolated humans. They weren't in any social setup. So the Cyclopean metaphor of Joyce, whether he knew it or not, was talking about people before tribalism, before social life.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they were ape-like, the way Ion talks about them. Didn't know when they died, they didn't even know they died. There wasn't much of a change.
Mm-hmm.
So Joyce showing the antisocial level of the Cyclopean peoples was pretty auspicious, predictive, and maybe anthropologically correct, that they were the furthest back throwback. But yes, one should be impressed with the whole Cyclopean part of the book.
But the eye is also still visual space, right?
Yes, but Cyclopean is pre-visual space eye. It's a tactile eye. It's integrated with the other senses. The phonetic alphabet drew the eye out from the other senses. First time ever that the harmony of the senses was aborted by the extreme visual extension and numbness that the alphabet caused. And therefore, the visual sense operated separately and in control for 2,000 years.
Well, I would wonder, you know, in the original Ulysses, why Odysseus didn't take out his eye. Or would that have been too big?
Maybe he did. I can't remember. He injured the guy, seriously.
Well, he might have taken out his eye.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened.
Okay, so then...
So he couldn't see where no man was, so he was telling his other Cyclopeans to help him see him.
So that was the fight against, the whole literary, visual, auditory. That's a big metaphor there.
Yeah.
Eternal
I guess
chimera
that would
hunter.
Be...
No, who's he?
Well, go ahead, Carolyn. I interrupted.
No, I was just thinking that would have been my my tactic would have been to take out his eye.
Right. So now, what would take out his eye? A visually biased person like James Joyce would retrieve the value of snuffing an eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he knocks out the tactile human.
Right.
But it may be stretched because we have to see what the story was.
Well, just Google it, somebody. I'm not near my Googler. Did Odysseus take out the Cyclops' eye on
Ulysses.
The island of Dread?
Yeah, Ulysses, Cyclops.
Did Ulysses...
The Cyclops' eye roved until he spotted a leg. I'm just reading that because on the card it says Cyclops, the roving eye, the hunter, eternal chimera or chimera hunter.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the Greek. Is it a Greek myth? Yeah. Odysseus and the Cyclops. When Cyclops caught Odysseus and his men sleeping in a cave, the Cyclops became enraged and grabbed two of the men, smashed their heads against the rocks and ate them, and then fell asleep. Odysseus dared do nothing to the Cyclops, since only the Cyclops was strong enough to move the stone away from the mouth of the cave. The Cyclops had blocked any exit. The next morning, the Cyclops grabbed two more men, smashed their heads against the rocks, and ate them for his breakfast. He then rolled away the stone, let out his herd of sheep, and rolled the stone back to close the cave. Odysseus devised a plan. He and his men took a large timber, carved the end to a sharp point, and hid it. Sounds like you're right. When the Cyclops returned in the evening, he again let his sheep in, rolled the stone to close the mouth of the cave, and proceeded to bash in the heads of two more men and eat them. This time Odysseus spoke up and offered the Cyclops some strong wine he had brought with him. Polyphemus, that's the Cyclops, who had never drunk wine before, drank his full and became very drunk. Thank you, Odysseus. Polyphemus asked him his name. Odysseus told him his name was No Man. The Cyclops then fell fast asleep in a drunken sleep. So Odysseus and his men then took the timber and heated the sharpened end in the fire till it glowed red. Then with all their strength, they pushed the red-hot point into the eye of Polyphemus. The Cyclops howled and woke up flailing, but he was now blind. The other Cyclops, who lived on the island, came running, but when they asked Polyphemus who had done this to him, he replied, "No man." And the other Cyclops all returned home laughing. Early the next morning, Odysseus tied each of his men to the belly of one of the giant sheep. When Polyphemus awoke and led the sheep out of the cave, he felt the back of each sheep to make sure no one was on them. Feeling nothing, Polyphemus allowed each sheep to pass out of the cave, carrying with it one of Odysseus' crew tied to its belly. Odysseus himself grabbed onto the fleece of the last sheep's belly and escaped through the mouth of the cave. Odysseus and his men ran back to the ship and hurriedly pushed out to sea. As they sailed away from the harbor, Odysseus called out to Polyphemus, laughing at him and telling him that it was not no man, but he, Odysseus, who had blinded him and fooled him. And I think the Cyclops gets a god to wreak revenge on Ulysses, and then they end up stranded on another island or something. Okay, so you're right. They poked his eye out. Is that what they did?
They did.
Yeah. I just clicked it off, but all right. He got blind. Okay, back to the hearts. The Queen of Hearts. So the Cyclops, Jack of Hearts, the Cyclops, the roving eye, the hunter, eternal Chimera hunter. Now Bert, when do you leave? In a couple minutes?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll finish this up.
You finished the part.
Yeah, yes, we're almost finished. The Queen of Hearts. She shall ebb music, way river she flows. So she shall have...